So this morning, as I think everybody is getting their sheets of paper and pencils and Bibles.
Textbook.
The Bible is the textbook. And so I'm going to, are you ready to go?
I'm ready whenever
you are. So Doug Puckering is going to go. There's one more sheet that will be handed out in just a few minutes.
A disclaimer to the men who are going to have to endure the repetition of what they heard yesterday morning. There's some value, however, in repetition. You might learn something more, so kind of bear with me, if you will, please. Unfortunately, you're being exposed to somebody who hasn't had a classroom of students for about 30 years, and I miss it. So today, we're going to pretend like we're in school. Now, one of the primary rules of education is if you want someone to learn something, you have to understand the modalities for learning. I didn't make up the statistics, but for most of us, we will remember somewhere between 5 to 15% of what we hear. Now, if we write down what we hear, we can increase the percentage, you know, maybe up as high as 35 or 40%. And then if we do something with what we hear, we can get as high as 90% of remembering what we heard. And that's what we're going to do this morning. Now, there's another rule of instruction, and that is you tell people what you're going to tell them, and then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. So if you'll bear with me, we're going to talk about prayer this morning. It is something which I think, if you do it, God deserves your very best. And your very best comes only with practice. I don't know anybody in this room who can't get better at anything you do with practice. And that includes prayer. So, with that in mind, I want you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Remember, you're not to turn the page over yet. Want the black side up because you're going to have to write on there. You can always tell when everybody gets to the right place in the Bible because the rustling quiets down. So you have to listen for rustling. So don't rustle the paper, just rustle the Bible. Chapter 6, beginning with verse number 5. Now, this is Jesus talking in case you don't have a red-letter version. So, I'm not a fan of people reading to me, but I don't know how else to do this. So, let's do it together. But when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Now, let's make sure everybody knows what a hypocrite is. That's somebody who says one thing and does something differently. So when you pray, make sure that there's not hypocrisy in your prayers. Or if there is, if you're praying about something that's sin in your life, we'll get to that later. You need to mention it. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues. Now, why would they stand in the synagogues so that somebody would notice them? They're not really praying to God. They're praying to impress the people in the synagogues. So we need to be careful of that, and they pray on the street corners to be seen by men. What a shame that they have misused the opportunity to speak to God. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. And when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. So when you go into your room, that's kind of a private setting, isn't it? In other words, it suggests a smaller group so that you're not inclined to be trying to impress people, but rather the privacy that can be experienced in your home or in a small group. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling. Boy, what a word babbling is. It contains a great many things from which we can conclude that babbling means using a lot of words. That, in fact, if you listen to most people in Washington, D.C. that you've elected, they babble. They use a lot of words that don't mean very much because they want you to think they said something, when in fact, if you understand the construction of the English language, they didn't. So that's babbling. And so we need to be careful in our prayer life that we don't babble. Excuse me, it's genetic. Like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. So, talking about a lot of words. So it doesn't have to be particularly long. What it has to do is be effective. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So, if you will, please, those of you have a pencil, let me give you some guidelines that I have derived from this portion of Scripture that will help you quit looking at the wrong side. Would you please follow the directions? Okay, I'm going to give you six words that begin with S. So you could write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And the first word is subject by subject. So when we start to study the Lord's Prayer, I will introduce you to the fact that it very clearly defines subjects that Christ is telling us he clearly defines as subjects for prayer. So, and if the hypocrites were just babbling, they weren't going subject by subject. Keep it short. We had a mantra amongst my peers that we called it SIBKISS. See it big, keep it simple, stupid. And as we'd go to coffee with each other, especially those of us who were in the science field, we knew that we can't teach our students everything we know about science. What we have to teach them is the tools with which they can use to understand what they encounter. So that was one of our mantras. Another one was the mind can absorb what the seat can endure. I will try and bear that in mind today as I watch the clock. Keep it short. Keep it simple. That's number three. And when you keep it simple, may I caution you against using trite prayer language. In other words, you don't have to put on a special voice to talk to God. You don't have to soften it so nobody can hear you. And watch the frequency with which you use certain words. I think you will have heard people who keep telling God they're talking to him, so that in their prayer, every fifth or sixth word is, Lord, I just, and then the word just comes, Lord, I just want to thank you for this, and Lord, you're so good to me, and Lord, once you tell God you're talking to him, you don't have to keep telling him. You know, if you're talking to me and you keep saying, Doug, I'll probably interrupt you and say, yeah, I know I'm Doug, and you know I'm Doug, that's enough. So, avoid the frequency of words. So that would be keeping it simple. Keep it specific. Now we're going to get to that when we get to the Lord's Prayer. Number five, have some silent time as you're praying and listen to what God has to tell you. That's who you're talking to. If you're talking to me, I want an opportunity to talk back. And I think God is the same way, that as you talk to him, he would like to say, well, no, just a minute, you don't quite have that right, or you need to include this or something like that. So be still in Psalm, you know, we hear the be still and hear my voice. Well, that's a good opportunity when you're praying. And the sixth one, remember, not in the streets, not in the synagogue, in small groups. So S for small. Now, if you will go with me to the Lord's Prayer, which begins with verse number 9. Don't turn that page over yet. Now, follow with me in your Bible, please. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Look at that phrase and then look at what remains. 40% approximately is what we just read of the entire prayer. In other words, Christ gave us a model, and the first 40% is telling God how important he is. And also you need to remember, there are a lot of religions in the world, and they talk to their God, and it's not the same God that you talk to. So when you pray, you need to be sure you identify our God, the God of creation, the God who sacrificed his son to come and die for your sins. The other religions don't believe that. So be sure when you are doing the Lord, when you are praying, that you remember that first part. Now, we refer to that as adoration. So if you would write down that word, I'm going to give you three more as we go along, but that would be one of the words you could remember. So another easy way of remembering that portion of the Lord's Prayer is describing the attributes of God. Now, one of the things that I do in my prayer life is I believe God deserves my very best, and my very best only comes with homework. So when I'm reading the Bible at home, I have a yellow pad beside me. Now you'll notice this one has some portions missing. When I was a teacher, students tell me the dog ate their paper, and I didn't believe it. As a matter of fact, that was my son's dog. That was... I was taking care of him, and these were down low, and he got to them. So the first two lines are not there. But when I read the Bible, I write down phraseology that appeals to me, that allows me to tell God what's on my mind, and I'm not gifted enough to think of myself. You see, I'm not a wordsmith. In fact, I will confess to you, in my high school English class, after it was all over, I think the last English class I had to take was in the 11th grade, darling teacher, Della Crothers was her name. She saw me in the hallway and she said, "Doug, I just want you to know you didn't pass my class, but I passed you because I don't want you back." That's a true story. So understand, I'm not much of a wordsmith. I'm much better at science. So for me, I have to plagiarize what's in the Bible. And I write out my prayers. And later on this morning, I will close with one of the prayers that I've written. But you might find it useful to copy this pattern of keeping track of the attributes of God when you read the Bible, keeping track of scriptures that you like. Let me give you some examples. From Psalm 19, I read, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." Isn't that beautiful? I could never think of those words and put them together. And then in Psalm 25, "To you, O Lord, we lift up our soul. In you we trust. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Guide me in truth, as my hope is in you. Remember not the sins of your youth." I have to say that one quite a lot. Most of us guys had some real debauchery in our young life, and so we need to talk to God a lot about our growing up years. Isn't it nice that eventually we get a full set of brains and we can start behaving like men? And as I'm at it, men, I need to remind you, God has appointed you to preserve the faith, so that if you are not proclaiming the gospel correctly, if you are not praying according to the model that Christ gave you, it's a slippery slope to be slightly moving away from the truth. So I caution you, men, please remember God has appointed you as the caretakers of the faith. And women, your job is to keep us in line. We need your support. My wife was a wordsmith, and so when I would write a prayer, and she was a godly woman, if she knew you, you got prayed for. And so she would help me write prayers. I don't have that help anymore, so please forgive me when I pray. They're a little rough. They lack the refinement that my wife would have given them. Anyway, now if in your Bible or if when you're praying you want to talk about some sins, go to Psalms 25. Here's some sins: pride, self-pity, complaining, pettiness, prejudice, spite, self-serving indulgence. How you like those? Huh? And let me confess, the sin of omission. And I stand before you this morning guilty as someone who strives desperately to do that. But when I go to sleep at night, I plan my entire day for tomorrow before I fall asleep, which means don't you interrupt me. This happened to me last week, not this past, the week before last. I was on the train coming back from Wisconsin. I'm a bit fanatic about getting my exercise every day, and getting enough exercise on the train is problematic. So every time the train stops for a few minutes, I'm off the train walking up and down beside it to get in as many steps as I can. You see, I wore a Fitbit. Thank you, Kens. And you know what? It doesn't lie. You think you do a lot of exercise in the day, measure it, and you'll find out you're lying to yourself. Anyway, as I was walking up and down beside the train, here was a lady with a stroller and a fairly large plastic bag. I don't know if that was everything she owned, but it looked like there was a blanket and some clothing and stuff in there. And the plastic broke and the bag fell. Now, I wasn't sure if she was going to meet somebody or if she was going to get on the train, but I wasn't more than 3 or 4 feet from her when this happened. But I was going to get my steps in, and I walked past her. That, my friends, is the sin of omission. Fortunately, God convicted me. I was about 10 steps past when I stopped dead in my tracks and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lord." And I turned around. Fortunately, somebody that's better than I am was rendering the aid that was necessary. Those are sins of omission. And my guess is for many of us, if we observe the needs of others, in fact, I remember years ago in a Sunday school class, there was a couple that were on their way to church, and there was somebody beside the road with a flat tire, and the wife suggested they stop and help, and the husband said, "No, no, we can't do that. We'll be late for Sunday school." That would be sins of omission. Sunday school is not nearly as important as showing the Lord's love. So that's one of the sins. Let me read you from Psalm 61. "You have been my refuge from vicissitudes of life." I love that word, the vicissitudes of life. Do you know what that means? All the problems and anxieties and the worry, that's vicissitudes. We all have vicissitudes. "You are alone. You alone are my rock and my salvation and my hope. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my lips glorify you. You are a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God." Then if you want some more sins, you can go to Proverbs 6 and you can find a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run swiftly to evil, a false witness, one who shows discord among brethren. And if you're looking for some good stuff, you can go to Colossians chapter 3. And verses 1 to 9, it tells you the things you shouldn't do. But let's look at the things you should do. And that's what in Colossians you're supposed to put on, and that is compassion, kindness. So in a prayer, you might want to list some of the things you need, where you are lacking: compassion or kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with each other, forgiveness, putting on love. These are listed in Colossians. And I have some more. But I guess what I'm trying to suggest to you is that anytime you want to be good at anything, you have to practice. And part of the practice is, as you read the Bible, you write down the things that are appropriate in a prayer, and then write your prayers. Write them out. You will find it rewarding. All right. The first part of the Lord's Prayer is adoration. We've got that much, and it's roughly 35 to 40%. Now, give us today our daily bread. Notice there's only one line in here where we are asking for something. Most of the prayers that I hear amongst Christians in my life omit adoration, and they omit forgiveness, and their prayer consists of thanksgiving and a long list of things you want God to do for you. I call that pandering at the foot of the cross. Now, God tells us we have not because we ask not, but be careful what you're asking for. You know what? Sitting before me are the most blessed people in the world. You do not have to be afraid that you will go to jail for coming here today. And as long as the two Steves are here, you don't have to be afraid of being shot. You can openly speak of your religion in public without being arrested. You are healthy enough to be here. You have the medical attention that the rest of the world dreams of. You have enough to eat, and some of us more than we need. I just came back from Wisconsin, and I gained 10 pounds in 11 days. You'll excuse me, but I'm in the process of getting rid of it. We live in one of the most beautiful parts of the world, where we can see this gorgeous mountain and greenery and streams, where if you're an outdoor person, what enjoyment can you derive from your surroundings? And God has placed you here for a reason. What more do you need? Why don't we start praying for the missionaries? If we're going to pray, let's forget about ourselves. And let me tell you something that is my personal opinion. The hardest job in the world is to be a pastor's wife. And if you don't believe me, get to know one. And you better start praying for her. And the second hardest job in the world is being a pastor. And if you're not praying for him, if you criticize, in fact, you could ask the pastor, when is the last time somebody told you you did something good? And they can't remember, because it's almost exclusively criticism. So if you're looking for things to pray for, keep yourself off the list. Be like my wife. If you knew her, she prayed for you. She didn't pray for herself, yet she suffered for 11 years with metastatic cancer. So, give us today our daily bread. The next portion, so we have a word for what we want to give, and that's an S. So, why don't we write down, some of you know the acronym, ACTS, A-C-T-S. So if you write that on your paper, we'll give you something to put in all those letters. So the first letter is A, adoration. The second letter is C, confession, and that's what we're coming to now. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I'm of the opinion that if you really want your sins forgiven, you can't just talk in such general terms, that you need to identify what your sin is, and I've read you some of them that you could find in the Bible. You know what your sins are. For me lately, probably the biggest sin that I commit on a regular basis is the sin of omission, because I've planned my day the day before, and please don't interrupt my plan. And that leads to the sin of omission, because I fail to see the needs of others. If I am smart enough to see it, then obviously I do what I can about it. So we have adoration, then we have confession. So that's A, C, and then we come to some thanksgiving. So the remaining part of the Lord's Prayer is asking the Lord not to lead us into temptation, deliver us from evil. What I want now is the men that pass out papers to pass out the second piece of paper, if you would, please. I'm going to give you a copy of the Lord's Prayer, in which I want you to do some stuff with. And while they're passing it out, you may turn over the original sheet if you like, and you'll find out what's written there is just about everything I've told you. But first I made you write it, so that'll help you remember it. So now you heard it, you've written it, you can read it, and now we're going to do something about it. You know, I bet you thought you were through school a long time ago. You'll notice that I've broken the Lord's Prayer down into some fairly large sections with a nice space in there. That's where you get to write something. You don't have to write it today, but I want you to take it with you. And I challenge, yesterday morning, I challenged all the men in the church to use this as a guideline and write a prayer that conformed to the guidelines of the Lord's Prayer, and that if they did that, the pastor would have 5 months, that was at least 20 Sundays, in which he could call on one of the men that was here yesterday to give a prayer. You heard the first one this morning. And wasn't that a wonderful opening prayer? Amen. It touched me deeply. That is the kind of prayer I hunger to hear. So, you see the beginning part, Our Father which art in heaven. We need to make sure that God knows we're talking to Him, God the Father of Jesus Christ, not God of Buddha, not God of Hindu, not God of LDS, not God of all these other religions, God of Christianity, who gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. That's what you do in the first part of this. This is called the salutation. We're getting started. We want God to know we're talking to Him. And then the next part, hallowed be His name. This is where you want to do the adulation. Give the attributes of God. He's holy. He's the God of mercy, the God of love. He's faithful. He's a God that forgives. And eventually you can add to that list as you read the Bible and develop the other attributes that He has. And then we come down to Your kingdom come. Express your joy at the day you come face to face with your Savior, and He can say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And at my age, I can't figure out what the delay is. In the last 2 years, I've lost 6 close friends and was at one of them last Saturday. And they're all I'm the oldest of all those. No, there's one that was older than I was, but the rest of them are all younger, and they're gone. For some reason or other, I'm still here. So put up with it. Then we come to thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, that's the portion where you need help to share your faith. You need the fruits of the Spirit to be evident in your life. So you ask God that you can be his representative here on earth, and that you have inculcated in your life the qualities and the characteristics that will represent him. You should not have to tell anybody you're a Christian. If you are a Christian, it should be self-evident by virtue of who you are. And if that is not a practice in your life, I want you to start today. And a good place to start is go to your Bible and read the fruits of the Spirit and make sure that you have them. And of course, in my particular case, observing the needs of others. If I'm going to do God's will, then I have to do that. Give us this day our daily bread. This is when we start asking God for things. And I've already talked to you about, you are such blessed people. Be careful about what more you ask God for. You know, if I was God, my response to you would be, when are you going to be satisfied? I have given you so much. Why don't you contemplate what you have and thank me for it? Anyway, be sure you put in there, when you're asking for things, don't forget your pastor and his wife. That's probably the two most important prayers you're gonna give every week. Then forgive us our debts. This comes confession. So when we have ACTS, okay, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And supplication is, that's the want list. That's the give me stuff. That's what I call pandering at the foot of the cross. So forgive us our debts. May I caution you that you need to define those pretty carefully. I think when Christ was giving us this, this is a model. And as a scientist, I remember when we have models of something that we were teaching students about, that was kind of the beginning. From that, you what we call extrapolate. You expand from the model. You add things to the model. And so, at least it's my hope that Christ was being kind to us and giving us a fairly compact model that those of us that have two brain cells to rub together could remember. That to remember, we need to do some confessing when we pray. And then, of course, here we come again asking for something. Lead us not into temptation. And those of us that have addictive personalities, that's the tough part. We need to resist that every day. And temptation does not necessarily have to be drugs. It can be food. It can be exercise. It can be work. I happen to be one of those. If I couldn't work tomorrow, I'm not sure the world would be a good place for you to meet up with me. My wife used to say if I ever had to be hospitalized, she was going to tell them at the admission desk, sedate him and keep him that way until he's out. My granddaughters know I'm not a good patient. So I guess I'm addicted to being active, and so far the Lord has honored that for me. You know, my friends are dead and I'm not, so. Deliver us from evil. If there are temptations in your life that trouble you, this is the place to mention those to God and say, give me the strength to omit that. And then we get to the last part of the prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. This is a part where you can really enrich your prayer and tell God a lot of personal things. Tell him how important his giving you Christ has been, how much you love reading his word, how much you appreciate his love, his kindness, his watching over you. In other words, thank him for the evidence in your life that is bringing you pleasure. Now, when you conclude a prayer, I'm sorry if I offend anyone, but I am sick and tired of people closing a prayer with "in his name." My question is, who is his? If you are a Christian, you are praying in the name of Jesus. Please, if you see me, don't do the his name stuff. You close your prayer in Jesus' name. Will you do that, please? Thank you very much. Now, I realize we're a little ahead of schedule, and yesterday we had questions, but I'm not sure that's appropriate for this sort of thing. So let me tell you about one of the prayers that I read. And you may want to write down, I will give you the references, and then I will read you the prayer. I want you to learn a technique for doing prayer. This prayer came from Hebrews. What I did when I read Hebrews was I took the idea in the references that I will give you and I rewrote them without the help of my wife the best I could to reflect what's going on up here, what I wanted to say to God. So I used Hebrews chapter 10, 22. That's my first line or two. Hebrews 4, 16. 4:13, and I did it in this order. So what I did when I read Hebrews, I would write down the reference and what I liked, and when I got all finished, I had to move stuff all around so that it had some semblance of order and that it would flow. So 4:16, then 4:13, then 4:12, 2:1, 2:3, 2:18, 3:6, 3:7, 5:14, 6:12, 10:36, 11:6, 11:26, 12:1, and 12:2. And I put that all together, and let's close with this prayer. If you'll join me in prayer. Since by the blood of Jesus, we can have confidence to enter your holy presence, help us to draw near to you with a sincere heart and in full assurance of faith. May we be men and women of prayer, approaching the throne of grace with confidence, where we would find your strength to help us in every need we have this week. Lord, everything about us is bare and wide open to your all-seeing eyes. Nothing can be hidden from you. May this truth be impressed upon us and produce in us a pattern of life that is pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. It is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest dagger, cutting swiftly and deeply into our innermost thoughts, exposing us for what we really are. May we recognize this and have a great appetite to feed on your work. May we listen very carefully to the truths we have heard concerning your work, and in this way keep from drifting away. Keep us from being indifferent to your great plan for salvation, and may we realize that you know what it is to go through temptation, and we can lean on your experience and ask for your help in every temptation and trial. Enable us to keep up our courage firm to the end, along with trust in you. Emancipate us from complaining and grumbling like the people of Israel. May we be careful to hear your still voice today and keep our heart tender towards you. Help us to feed on solid spiritual food, and in this way, train ourselves to distinguish good from evil. Give us victory over laziness. Help us to imitate men and women who demonstrate faith and patience. Help us to persevere, knowing that by submitting to your will, we will receive what you have promised. And may we please you by having greater faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please you. May we regard following Jesus as of greater value than the so-called treasures of the world, and may we look forward to this world for our reward. Beyond this world. May we throw off everything that hinders us in following you. May we have victory over the sin that so easily besets us. And may we have our eyes fixed on people, but rather on you, Lord. You are the author and finisher of our faith. And in the name of Jesus, who died for our sins, we pray. Amen.